He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
This is He Said, She Said, technically speaking and...
very simply put.
So put it the way you want to put it. What's cooking?
Oh, what's cooking is my mock teriyaki sauce, steak and onions. Yummy.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Well, you all enjoyed it the other night.
Yeah, I love being your test pilot when you prepare these wonderful dishes, dear. So tell us all about how did you make it?
Well, one of the things is it's one of those meals, and I've mentioned this many, many times, about how some of my best meals come out of when I'm cleaning the fridge out before we do the big shop. And you've mentioned before that the waste that goes on in our country, in North America.
The stat that I heard the other day was that one day of food waste, this is decent food, food that's edible, not just garbage, rotten food, but edible, good, clean food that is thrown away in one day could feed an African nation in a year.
Oh, for sure.
From North America. We are just such huge wasters of everything.
I know. And what we don't cook, we juice, right?
Yeah. Well, if you have a garden, then you can make compost. I mean, we just don't live that way anymore, so... you know, we have to be somewhat frugal and intelligent in our means because we obviously can't continue to waste the way that we are as a nation because ultimately that's going to get us into a lot of trouble. We're already in a lot of trouble, but we're just taking the value that we have for granted, and that's not really a holistic way to think.
What was that TV show you said you watched?
Called Cheapskates.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's about how people save money doing all kinds of strange things. They take it to the extreme and they've made a show out of it. But one of the ways is to use up what you've got in your fridge, like what you're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, the mock teriyaki sauce steak and onions was a nice sirloin steak that I had. And what I did was I didn't have any Bragg's aminos or any tamari sauce. So I used water, just a little bit of water with some really nice Celtic sea salt. So what I did was I juiced one orange, and I used 1 tablespoon of fresh grated ginger, 1 tablespoon of fresh grated garlic, 2 tablespoons of dark sesame oil, 1 tablespoon of unpasteurized honey, just 1/3 cup of water, and 1 teaspoon of Celtic sea salt, and I used some crushed chilies. Now, that's optional, depending on if you've got kids or not, if they don't like it too spicy. I mixed it all up in a bowl, and then I chopped up my steak in little pieces, and then I put it into the fridge in a closed sealed container for about 1 hour, and I shook it all up and made sure. You can put it in a Ziploc bag if you like. And then I had about 3 or 4 onions, and I chopped all the onions up, and I was crying like a baby, chopped all the onions up, and I sautéed them very lightly in the dark sesame oil. That was in one pan, and in the other pan, I drained that teriyaki sauce from the steak, and then I lightly sautéed so that it's still pink inside the steak, and then I added the onion to the steak, and I topped it on top of a nice hot wild rice, which was splattered with some of the sesame oil. And it was really scrummy, and then what I did was I put toasted sesame seeds on top of it.
Right, yeah, that sesame factor is great.
Yeah, that was really good, you know, so I had all those things, so it was just an onion. I mean, we had a salad beforehand, but just an onion and steak, and pretty simple. I mean, hopefully you've got an orange in there, but it's always nice to have, like, olive oil, coconut oil, sesame oil, the different oils, hemp oil, in your fridge or in your cupboard, because you can mix and match them all up, right?
Well, sesame oil is big in Ayurvedic medicine.
Yes.
They use it in a lot of different ways. You know, I remember using it when I was in India, staying at this ashram, and we had to cover our bodies in sesame seed oil.
Yeah.
It has all of these, like, interesting properties, but they use it to pacify stress and heal the body, and it has a lot of nutritive value. You know, of course, like the rule with all oils, if the oil has been winterized or degummed or fractionated or heated or sterilized, it's useless. You lose
right.
All the properties. So we've got to make sure that whatever oil that we use, we don't destroy it by overheating it or overcooking it, and that we take an oil that is protected from light, heat, and oxygen in the right kind of container. That's
exactly.
A big deal, too.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the sesame seeds, their rich, nutty flavor, can be found in foods around the world, as you'd mentioned. And when the sesame pods are ripe, they burst open to reveal the seeds inside, now leading to this famous quote, open sesame. That's cool, huh?
Absolutely, yes.
And the seeds range in color from white to inky black. And I've got the black ones, and I've also got the white ones. The white seeds producing a mild, pale oil, and the black seeds yielding the dark, intensely flavored oil. And that's also, I used the dark sesame oil as well. And when you eat them whole, the seeds are rich in manganese, copper, calcium, vitamins B1, E. And the oil alone is really rich in B1 and vitamin E. So it's also used in face care products. And you can use it in your hair, and you can put it on your face, and you can put it in your bath. So there's a multitude of things that you can do with the sesame oil and sesame seeds.
Yeah, I remember it also being part of Dr. Arola's Formula F. For dry skin, it was sesame seed oil and olive oil and avocado oil,
right,
and wheat germ oil.
Yeah.
And then you would add your favorite perfume or essential oil to that, and you mix up the ingredients. But the main ingredient was sesame seed oil, and you keep it in the fridge, and you just apply it to your face, neck, and arms. And you're big on that. You're big on using oils.
Yeah, I do. I mean, well, I'm dry anyway, but being here and through our travels, I get super dried up. I mean, it doesn't matter how much water I drink. You know, it's just I really have dry skin, so I like to get my oils internally as well as externally. But you have to be careful. For me, I need to be careful about how much oil, heavy oil, I put on my skin, because sometimes you can get a little bit of a breakout. So, you know, you just be careful about how you're doing it. My skin's pretty soft, and like Udo Erasmus said, you take as much oil internally until your skin gets soft. So I take a lot of oils, and I've got really soft skin. So
well,
that's really
conventional
nice.
Thinking lends us to believe that if we lather the outside of our body with anything, that that's going to heal us and make us better and, you know, treat wrinkles. And it's a superfluous concept. What we have to do is, first and foremost, feed the cells on the inside. And you can't absorb and utilize a lot of nutrients unless those lipid membranes, those bilayers around each cell, are made up of phospholipids that consist of these essential omega-3 fats. So we need the fat inside the cell and around the cell as a membrane to actually utilize and absorb water. So, you know, you can drink all the water you want, but if your fat-free diet is not sustaining you with, you know, the omega-3 and the essential fats, which a lot of people have, as you know, a very, very poor, shallow intake of omega-3 fats.
Exactly. And
then
I
they're in trouble.
We put a lot of oil into our shake.
Oh, my goodness.
Hemp seed oil,
chia,
flax. I put more in than you go. You go, how much are you putting in there? I said, I'm putting lots in. I do two big, huge squeezes. I don't know how much it is, but it's a lot. But I can't even taste it anymore. But I just know that it's really healing for me, and my body just sucks it right up, and it's a very happy camper.
As we age, we can't convert the alpha-linolenic acid, the omega-3 essential parent fatty acid, into EPA and DHA, these long-chain fatty acids, as efficiently as we could when we were younger. So there is an argument that we're supposed to increase our intake of things like salmon oil and fish-related oils that have the preformed EPA already included, because we don't have that inside of us unless we take the essential omega parent. And then if we lack the enzymes, or if we're big on alcohol or sugar, or we have high levels of insulin, we can't make the EPA. So it affects our brains and our thinking and our cells, and we get allergies and all kinds of weird things.
No kidding. Well, that's
so this oil chemistry is very important to understand, you know, like learning about oils and reading fats that heal and fats that kill, and learning about oil chemistry and nutrition, very, very important area.
Mm-hmm. Well, technically speaking, you used a few big words there. That was pretty good.
Right. And so what is the simply put version?
Eat lots of oils. Get creative in your
food. Eat lots of good oils.
Get creative with your dinners. And just use up what you've got. And if you don't use up what you've got, juice it. But, I mean, make sure that it's still fresh. I mean, you know, we shop, sometimes you go to the store every day, pick up a few things. And, you know, it's just important to make your own meals. I see so many people around me that just go to the store. I mean, they go to these coffee places and do the coffee and the muffin. Man, it's $10.
I know.
$10 they spend, and they're putting all this junk in their coffee, and eventually, you know, their health deteriorates.
Well, it's part of the payment for convenience. You pay more for convenience, but you also pay in other ways that are much greater long-term, like the loss of health.
Yes.
So you pay for this immediate value, this pleasure that you gain, but you lose the energy expenditure, you lose the connection of learning how to do anything, which if you don't do anything and you just hire everyone to do it for you, which is basically what we do. I think I read somewhere that the average Canadian would be equivalent back in the day, back in, say, the 18th, 19th century, to a plantation owner, one person having 200 slaves.
Yeah.
So the way that we live our lives today with our cars and our washer and dryer and all the electrical appliances and everything that we have to make life easier, it'd be like having 200 slaves back then.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense.
So people think that the way to achieve success is to have everything done for you by everyone else. And so what does that teach you in the end? And what does that create in your head and in your life? I think that I remember working on a dairy farm on the Big Island when we went there once, and I had to bring the cows in to get milked.
Mm-hmm.
And the experiment was three times a day instead of twice a day, because typically they're milked twice a day. And this guy was doing an experiment. He was from a Jersey farm, and he'd been raised that way. So my job was to bring the cows in and herd them in. I had this little stick thing that I carried. And these cows actually have personalities. Mm-hmm. They actually are far more intelligent than what most people give them credit for.
Okay.
And the thing was is that when you go out and do the work, there's a connection with the land, with the animals, that you would lose completely if you just had someone else do it for you and you just sat inside and, you know, drank coffee or whatever.
Well, I know that you talk about that all the time, because when I cook, and I know a lot of our CSNA students, they do the same thing. I get my hands, I mean, my hands are clean. Nobody washes their hands more than I do. My poor little nails are know all about that. But I get right into my food. I massage it, and I get my hands in there. And you said, you came over one day, and you said, that's a really good vibration. You're putting a healthy vibration into the food. Remember you got into that?
Well, that sort of ties in with the homeopathic concept or philosophy of succussion.
Yes.
When you dilute something, and then each time you dilute it, you have to shake it, and there's this vibratory effect that occurs on a quantum physical level. It's not entirely understood, and it's kind of cool, but I think that we're connected to everything. There is a connection that's well understood in physics, that no one is apart from anything else. And so knowing your connection to everyone and everything ideally should minimize the harm that you do to self and other people. Because when you know that you harm yourself when you harm others, well, that would be a futile exercise.
Exactly.
Why would you want to stick a stick in your eye? You know, and you might not think that directly when you cause harm to someone else or even in the environment. If you cause harm to the environment, you cause harm to yourself.
Well put, Dr. Hawley.
Yeah, I guess I'm in a philosophical mood today.
No kidding. What else is new?
Gosh.
You need a companion to talk to.
Philosopher first, scientist second,
I see.
Husband third.
I see.
And in that order, I hope, but not always true. So, dear, is that it for your what's cooking?
That's it for my what's cooking.
Oh, that's cool.
So
okay.
You don't have to go out and actually buy any tamari sauce if you don't have it. Just use the water, a little bit of Celtic sea salt, and away you go, and all the other ingredients, and you're set.
Yeah.
You got a nice little marinade.
Right on.
Work with meat, fish, chicken, vegetables.
Yeah, very cool. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Darren McDonald. Now, it's interestingly enough, Darren's background sounds a lot like yours, Corey, being an eclectic athlete and getting a football scholarship to the U.S. He is a Canadian. And being a brainiac to boot, then turning all of this into a great business venture to help others.
Yeah, his vision is large. and it's as big as the universe is, because what he has done, similar to what we've done, is create something on the internet which is infinite, really. I mean, as soon as they set up a base on Mars and on the moon, we'll be connecting with those people and those colonies via the internet, because there's no time and distance barrier with the internet, right? You can, right now we're sending out waves, even on the phone right now, how we're talking. We were, you know, Len's recording in the studio, you and I, you're upstairs, I'm down here. So it's all very cool, and understanding how all this works. And Darren is an IT guy. He's a master of creating what I think is very unique. It's this artificial intelligence.
Right.
That can actually compute diet frameworks and exercise programs based on the individual's input.
Right. And he really explained the total trainer, that's what it's called, in detail. And interestingly enough, he mentioned a personal trainer can only have a certain number of clients to service, because you're only one person. But he says with the total trainer, the personal trainer can raise the number of clients that they service, which is fantastic.
Well, yeah, I mean, a massage therapist or a personal trainer or anyone like that can only see so many people in a day.
Right.
You know, the conventional medical practitioner is able to see 80 patients a day because they only spend 2 minutes with each patient.
And how many personal trainers do we know that have talked to us and told us that they're getting burnt out?
Because you're physically involved, you know, like you're spending maybe 45 minutes to an hour with each client. Now, you just add up that time, you quantify it, there's only so many hours a day. So let's say you work 10 hours a day and you need a bit of time, you got to catch a lunch in, and you know, you got to service yourself. A lot of them don't do that. They negate themselves, which is a big mistake that a lot of people have made. I've made it myself, I'm sure you had, where you disregard self because you're chasing the buck and you're trying to achieve success in your work, right?
You don't even have time to go to the toilet.
Yeah, and then you gain all that weight, right? No, no, no. So the life itself has to be sustainable. That's a big one for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainability.
Sustainability is the big word, and we think about that. It's funny how you and I say that all the time. Is this sustainable, Tracy? Is this just sustainable, Corey, when we're doing something in our life?
You know, I think that as a philosophy or as a standard, so you could talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and they, you know, everyone's got a story and everyone's got problems and everybody's damaged goods to some degree. So you talk to somebody and you just say, well, tell me about how you live. And then you could determine if you have the right person who is able to open up and you have the right attitude and the connection with that person. If they tell you the truth, you could say, you know what? Your lifestyle is not sustainable. And that is why you're suffering. That's why you're miserable. That's why you're unhappy. It's not sustainable. You're not living in a way that can sustain health.
Well, one of the things, a close friend of mine who is a professional fitness competitor and personal trainer had knee surgery. And she's 40. I think she's actually about 40 years old. And all that finally taken a toll on her at 40 years old having knee surgery. And, you know, they take a beating, those. I mean,
she's a fitness competitor. You know, a lot of them are gymnasts, and they do is phenomenal. But we both know when we look at what they do that pounding.
Oh, yeah.
And the
dieting.
The intensity.
I mean, and these most of these girls, I'd say 90% of them, are not on the health kick thing. They're not on it. They're just accordions. They go big and small and big and small and dehydration, and they don't supplement. And
well, they're a product of a society
that's
engineered in the public education system. And so we come out of that system. Now, you might be an athlete. You might continue to train or not. But pretty much everyone's eating the same way. Lots of junk and crap and garbage and feedlot food. I mean, we eat worse than the animals that we condemn for eating incorrectly. We eat worse than they do because cattle don't eat Oreo cookies.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And our pets eat better than most humans.
Yeah.
And that's why human food is illegal to feed to animals in zoos. It's actually nationally legislated as being condemned and illegal. Now, if you don't understand from that position that eating the way we do is erroneous and incorrect and illogical, then you'll never get it, and then, you know, whatever. Just go on your merry way, and good luck.
Well, this is what Darren's Total Trainer works with. He works on a fitness program and also a nutrition protocol that's holistic and integrative, as he said, and it's personal for you. There might be certain foods that you are allergic to, he said, or that you can't tolerate. So they change it up. But everybody's an individual, so there's hundreds and thousands of different options that you can have that's designed just for you. And he's put a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of his brainiac stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's got a real winner there. He's just having some challenges getting it out.
Oh, yeah.
And getting people to know about it, and that's pretty much the same for everybody. So the website is GoTotalTrainer.com.
Check it out. And thank you, Darren, very much for your special guest interview. It was very, very interesting.
Yeah, if you're a personal trainer, check this out, because it's a way to generate revenue and teach your clients a new system that is, I think, spectacular.
And even just check it out, because it's important. The reason that we do SNU is so we keep you updated on what is going on out there in the world. Because wouldn't it be funny if one of your clients came to you and said, hey, have you heard of the Total Trainer? And you say, no, I haven't. You need to know what's going on before your clients.
Absolutely. And the only way that you can know is to keep up with the research.
Absolutely.
And that's what SNU is all about.
That's what we're all about.
Sports Nutrition Update.
You got it.
Holistic sports nutrition, by the way. Okay, so let's move on to our next topic, CHI Update. What's cooking?
Well, Halloween has come and gone, and our birthdays have come and gone, and there was a lot of cake going around, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, too much, actually. I just was reading a book called Good Calories, Bad Calories. By the way, it's one of the best, and everyone out there should be reading that one. The author is Gary Tobbs. But he looks at the data of physiologists with exercise in mind, and essentially, when you eat whole food, clean food, you can eat a little or a lot. It doesn't really affect your weight. It's the garbage, junk, crap that humans are eating. That's what's creating most of the damage.
Exactly.
Not about whether you exercise or not, although that is very important for a lot of different reasons.
Right.
But in terms of weight management, all kinds of examples of people who ate a lot more than their counterparts who were exercising a lot more, and there was no difference in their weight. In fact, in some cases, the people that were doing no exercise were actually losing weight or not gaining fat, whereas the exercisers were gaining fat and weight because of what they were eating.
Exactly.
And this is what we've always said.
I've always said that, yeah.
You know, don't count calories, count quality. And this is great to see more and more data coming out to sustain our position and the vindication of the health food industry, and that is quality first, what goes in, and then how you process it, and that is relative to what comes out.
Well, that's true. Yes, absolutely. These cakes I made, I used the coconut palm sugar. I used unsweetened carob chips. What else did I do? I used raw, really fresh nuts and seeds and, you know, good oils and whatever I used. I can't remember anymore. But, I mean, it was very, very healthful. So I didn't mind eating it, and I didn't spike my insulin levels. You know, and I just, it felt really, it was a heavy-duty cake by no means, but there was a lot of people eating it. But, yeah, Halloween came and gone, and we didn't have one treat other than the cake, right?
No, you know, the 25% of the children's intake of garbage and junk food that destroys their brains and bodies and immune systems comes from Halloween night. 25% of their total intake of that crud.
Now, what's going to happen? I guess what's the date today? The 8th of November? Now, what's going to happen is just give it another couple of days and you're going to see sickness come in.
Well, they're already seeing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. The throat infections, the colds, the flus, the depression of the immune system.
Within a week, and they don't even think it has anything to do with what they carried on.
And a lot of the kids hoard it, right? They hide it and hoard it and store it, and they keep eating it, like, long term.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there's the idea where you let your kids grind out for one night and then you throw it all away to protect them from themselves, because children don't know about subatomic particles and how photons of light are generated in the sun through fusion. They don't understand that.
Well, so I don't even know if I understand that.
Incapable.
Nonetheless,
they're not aware of the science.
No.
We should be aware as adults, as parents, of the science of nutrition to protect them from themselves. That's
well,
the
I mean, I see a lot of adults carrying on like children. I mean, they're grinding back that Halloween candy like they're 2-year-olds. It's ridiculous. And then they get the sore throat, then they get the headaches, and I see all kinds. You do too, of course, you do too. But I'm going like, what did you just eat?
I think junk food intoxicates the brain. I think that obviously we see people acting like fools and idiots when they're intoxicated. You know, like they've had too much to drink. So imagine if you drank every single day of your life to the point you acted like a fool and an idiot. Well, I think that's what the harm associated with the consumption of bad fats, bad sugars, bad proteins does. But people have no idea that their action, behavior, mental attitudes, and emotions are affected to the degree that they are by what they're consuming.
I have no desire to eat any of that candy. None whatsoever.
No.
And I used to really like the O. Henry bars, but it's a different formula now. And I haven't eaten one in 20 years.
You know what I see? I see poop on a plate. Now, if I put poop on a plate and passed it around, how many people would want to eat that?
Exactly.
So now it's what you see in your head, and it's what you know. Now, let's say that you disguised the poop and made it look pretty, but you still knew it was poop. Okay, then you colored it, and then you put food dyes in it, and you changed its texture so it tasted like, say, whatever you like. But you knew, you still knew that it was poop. Would you still eat it?
So
I think that's what people are completely ignorant of what they're actually eating. They're without knowledge.
Anyways, we have a new dance studio now in a new location.
And it's great. We stopped by last night to pick you up, and Mitchell commented on how he thought it was just wonderful. You guys have done a great job.
Yeah, and it's more cozy. There's actually three rooms. So when Lorna's teaching a group class or doing a private, I can go in the other room and do my privates as well. And it's just very cozy and quaint and nice track lighting, and I just absolutely love it. And I'm going to be doing some disco dance workshops for the month of November. It's all disco. And I am having a hoot just going through all the old disco music. It's bringing back so many memories. It's like the mid-70s to maybe 1980, 1982.
Yeah.
Up to that point.
And I guess you want the people that come to your disco dance party to dress up disco style, right?
Yeah, I do. But my workshops are on Saturday. And these workshops, I'm doing like the electric slide, the hustle, the YMCA, lots of different dance moves that I always really, really enjoyed and excelled in when I was a youngster or when I was a teenager teaching ballroom and Latin dancing. But it's really a lot of fun. And I'm going to be having a big party once a month, and this one's on the 24th of November, and I'm going to get the disco lights, and I'm going to be the DJ and get all dressed up and have little go-go girls and, you know, just play. I've got lots and lots of music that I've been accumulating, and I'm going to have 3 hours nonstop disco music, and it's going to be fun.
It's going to sound like...
It's going to be fun.
Like going back into the 70s, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And just finished a fashion show. I tell you, I am so darn busy here in Vernon. I haven't been this busy in years. I mean, I've connected with these gals, and these gals are all my age, and they have as much spunk and energy as I do. And even Ruby, our daughter, noticed that. She goes, Mom, they're just like you. It's great to be around other women who are like me. You know what I mean by that. It's just who have energy, who are interested in doing things, who are excited about life, who are creative, and very eccentric.
Well, surround yourself with greatness so that you know what it is.
Yeah, so I'm having a ball with that. So I did a fashion show, which was kind of fun. Dug out some old heels. I tell you, the heels are way too high. There's no bloody way I'm just hucking them out. I'll never wear them again. There I am modeling this outfit, and they, go dance on the runway. And I'm like, these heels are like 4 inches high. I don't know how I ever wore them, but I was like trying my best not to fall over. But anyway, that was fun.
Well, great for visual enhancement, but very poor for posture.
Exactly. And okay, what else?
What else is going on?
Well, we were babysitting Riley last night, and Ruby's been pumping breast milk. She's got like a professional pump from the hospital that she rented. I said, no, she's not taking the bottle because we babysat. And you said, hey, if she's hungry, she'll take the bottle. And sure enough, when she was hungry, she took the bottle. You were right, Corey. You were right again.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, took an account of the previous three babies that we've had and gone through. You know, and there's no science to it. There's logic, there's rationality, there is temperance and patience that's important. But you just use common sense, you know. I mean, if you cater to the whim and every single need of a child and give them everything they want all the time, that's what they're going to expect for the rest of their lives from everyone and everything.
Exactly.
That will ruin them.
Well, so Riley's 3 months old now.
They've got to get to the point where you take them all individually, because they're not all the same. They're all individuals, and they're all beautiful, and you treat them with love and caring and all that. But still, there's this obligation of a parent to teach your child how to survive and cope in the world.
Right.
Right? And they have to find out for themselves how to get along on their own, by themselves, in their own little world, which is called inside their head.
Well, Riley's 3 months old now, and Ruby's wanting to have an evening out with her husband, or maybe have someone else mind her while she goes to the gym, and, you know, stuff like that, right? So Riley is just getting into doing the bottle, but she's exclusively breastfed to this point, and it's kind of interesting.
You know, one of the big issues is knowing the difference between whether your child is manipulating you for attention through screaming, or if they actually have a physiological need, like they're hurting in their tummy, you know, they got some colicky or a digestive gas bubble or something like that, right? Now, they can't talk.
It's
very difficult, especially for new mothers.
I know.
Who have no experience. This is Ruby's first time.
Yeah, she's doing really good, though.
But you can see parents who have many children, they get to the point where they're a lot easier, they're more relaxed, and they just simply don't get the anxiety and panic attacks. Oh my God, is my baby dying?
I know.
When they're crying.
Yeah.
And babies will cry. They will manipulate you, because humans are, well, they're very interesting creatures. They want to do everything their own way all the time, especially children.
It's so surprising, though, that at that age, 3 months, 6 months, that they know how to manipulate. I can't even grasp it.
Well, mammals will do it, too. With lions, tigers, their offspring will try and manipulate. Primates as well. The bonobo, you know, and apes and chimps, they do the same thing. And the parents, you'll see, are very specifically clear about what's going on. They don't allow their children to push them around.
I know.
And a lot of parents, because of their own insecurity, because of their own self-love starvation, feed on the demand of the child and then let the child take over and control them. And then that develops a very unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, but I wish that the kids weren't so damn cute.
I know. Well, dogs
so
do it, too.
Cute.
Look what dogs get from humans as a result of being cute.
I know. You've
got to look beyond the cuteness. I remember watching a film that these people landed on the planet, and the animals looked really cute, but then they opened up their mouth. They had these ferocious, vicious teeth, and they were going to eat them.
I know. How cute is that, right? Exactly. But Riley has really had a good first 3 months. No diaper rash, no little pimples. She's just a chunky little monkey. She's starting to laugh now and coo, and she's just Ruby. I'm just really impressed that Ruby's doing such a great job. You know, she's really patient too. Ruby is far more patient than I am. She's got that side from you, the patience part, you know.
Well, I think it's just her attitude, and she's a minimalist.
Very minimalist, like you.
She doesn't like to expend for the sake of expending. Like, she expends because it's necessary, which is kind of my mentality. She doesn't want a lot of things, but when she needs something, she does it.
Yes.
So there's this contentment in some people where they don't desire and want a lot of stuff for different reasons, and they're just fine not having it. And other people seem to crave it and desire it and push people around and do all kinds of crazy things to get what they want, and then they find out, in some cases they never do, that getting what you want all the time does not provide any spiritual satisfaction.
Exactly.
It just gives you temporary pleasure.
Exactly.
Which wears off eventually.
Then you get what you want, you throw it to the side.
No doubt, huh? And then you take everything for granted, and then you start hating yourself and other people. And it's really the anger, the criminal behavior, the violence in people is really the stuff that's going on inside of them. And, you know, it goes all the way back to the day they're born, and perhaps even before they're born physically inside the womb, when they can hear and listen to everything as well as be affected by the emotions of the mother when they're in that embryonic formulation stage, huh?
Right. Well, that's my CHI update. What's anything new for you?
Just another month has gone by. Life is good. Training is good. You know, I'm focused on Mr. Hawaii. I'm injury-free, training with a lot of intensity, starting to get into some angle training now, which means changing the direction of the lifts, changing the grip spacing, and now it's all about starting to carve up the statue. You know, they say that Michelangelo and his statue of David was simply him removing the debris from around the statue of David, who was inside him all the time.
Wow.
So he just chipped away and then revealed the beauty of the beautiful statue, right? So I think that's what we also can do with our physiques, is that we can just remove the debris that we collect unnecessarily as a result of maybe doing some things incorrectly.
Well, I know that you're bigger than I've ever seen you.
Yeah?
And not fat, either. But you're just bigger. I see you got into the shower the other day. I said, crepes, can you get any bigger? You can't even get through the shower door anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's
you like that. You like, I wasn't doing it to flatter you. I was just going, holy crap.
Well, it just shows, you know, I don't think of age as a barrier. I don't even think of it. It doesn't even enter my brain. I understand reality and oxidation and cell aging and all that. So, and a lot of people don't, and they're afraid of age. They're afraid of themselves. They're afraid of reality. They're afraid of life. A lot of fear. I just don't feel the fear. And if I do, I do what needs to be done anyway.
Well, your one leg is as big as my waist.
Yeah, well, your waist is very tiny.
No, but anyways, yeah, looking good, dear.
Good. Well, thank you for that compliment. I'll accept it. In a world of judgment.
Now bring me home a trophy, will you?
I am your trophy, dear.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Okay, so what is your final word?
My final word is by Mahatma Gandhi. Be the change that you wish to see in the world.